Going to the book of Ephesians for our study this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. We want to begin our reading at verse 8 and read through verse 14. Had a reading earlier from verse 1 through verse 7 of that chapter, so we're just picking up in the context. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through verse 14. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8, the Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Ephesus, said, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The terms dark and darkness are often found in the New Testament, yet we don't speak much about them today, and we don't read much about them at all anymore. And the writing of those who write bulletin articles and booklet articles for us to read in regard to religious matters. So I thought it would be interesting for us to consider darkness this morning in light of the fact that the Ephesians were said to be once darkness, but are now light. Walk as children of light. "You were once darkness," he said. The term darkness is used in a number of different ways in the New Testament. First of all, it is used simply in regard to physical darkness. That is, the absence of light itself. John 6 and in verse 17, before Jesus came walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, it is said that the disciples had gotten into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark. Used in the physical sense, we understand that. John 20 and verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." We understand what dark means there. It was physically dark. Now it may have been beginning to be light, because darkness sometime may be the absence of some light, or it might be the absence of total light. But nonetheless, it's still dark or darkness. And that's the way it is used sometimes in the New Testament, simply in the physical sense of physical darkness. But the term darkness is also used to mean in secret or in private. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 27, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." So whatever I tell you in the dark, the word darkness there carries the idea of in secret. Whatever I tell you in secret, whatever I tell you in private. And that's the way the word ear is used later on in the passage as well. And what you hear in the ear, that is what you whisper in one's ear, what you say in private to them. So we see that darkness is used here in the sense of in secret or in private. We also see that the term darkness is used to refer to physical blindness in Acts 13 and in verse 11. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." As this individual was trying to persuade this governor of this island not to listen to Paul in the preaching of the word, immediately a mist fell on him, a mist of darkness. Simply refers to the fact that he became instantly blind. And blindness here is referred to a dark mist. We know that's under consideration because he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He was blind, he couldn't see. So again, we see that the term darkness is used for simply physical blindness. Sometimes the term darkness is also used to describe one's eternal misery or the condition of damnation or the ruin that is going to be brought to his soul in a place of eternal torment, place of hell. Matthew 8 and in verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Darkness here simply refers to the ruin or the eternal misery that one is going to be in, the state that we's going to be in. We see the same thing in 2 Peter 2 and in verse 17. In regard to false teachers, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Eternal ruin and misery, damnation to the soul of one who's going to be cast into hell. However, these that we've noticed so far, the ways in which the word darkness is used, none of these ways have anything to do with the darkness that the Ephesian saints were in. You were once darkness. Is Paul saying that they were one time in physical darkness? I don't think so. Was he saying that one time they were in secret or in private? I don't think so. Was he saying that they were physically blind and could not see? I don't think so. Was he saying that they were once darkness, that is, they were one time in hell? No. So we see that none of the uses of the word so far indicate the use that Paul uses it in Ephesians 5 and in verse 8. So we see that the term darkness may also be used in another way. And that is, it is used in the sense of one being incapable of perceiving or comprehending something, understanding something. Has reference to one's intellectual blindness, his moral or spiritual blindness and ignorance regarding spiritual matters. We see it used that way several times in the Scripture, Romans 1 and verse 21. Because although they knew God, that is the Gentiles, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful but became futile, note this, in their thoughts and their foolish hearts or their minds filled with foolishness were darkened. They were unable to perceive, comprehend, and understand. Why? Because their thoughts were simply foolish. Spiritual darkness is under consideration. The inability to perceive and comprehend, understand intellectually. They're filled with ignorance in regard to the true and the living God. See it used that way as well in Romans 2 and in verse 17 and following, where Paul said, indeed you are called a Jew who rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident, note this, that you yourselves, that you Jews, are a guide to the blind Gentiles. They're blind in what sense? Spiritually blind, spiritually ignorant. Can't see, can't comprehend regarding spiritual things. Verse 19 again of Romans 2, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, who are in spiritual ignorance, who lack spiritual understanding and comprehension. It is certainly true that the Ephesians had been in this state at one time. Because Paul said in Ephesians 4 and in verse 17, this I say therefore in testifying the Lord, note this, that you Ephesians, should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked. Well, how did they walk? How did they behave themselves? How did they conduct themselves? In the futility of their mind, the vanity of their mind, the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they were spiritually ignorant, did not have the spiritual capacity to understand and perceive and comprehend God's will in their life. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, note this, because of the ignorance that is in them. Did they have intellectual ignorance in regard to things of the world? No. They may have been highly educated people, but they were spiritually ignorant. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But still, this is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our text. You were once darkness. So what is he talking about, and how is he using the word darkness here? Well, the term darkness is also used to describe spiritual and moral condition of man. That is, man might be in a state of spiritual darkness. He might be in a state or condition that is considered darkness in itself, which is symbolic of sin itself. We see this state or condition of man and the word used for darkness in many places, and that's the way that Paul uses it here. For you once were darkness. You were darkness, not you were in darkness. It's true they were at one time in their life. But they were darkness itself. If you could think in your mind that they were, their very character was dark. Their very character was alienated and cut off from God. Of course, by their sin, by their immorality. Why were they considered darkness? Because they were sinners. That's why they were considered darkness. They engaged in sin. And this use of the word darkness is used several times in the New Testament. Matthew 4 and in verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, speaking of Jesus Christ, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Remember, those two tribes settled on the eastern side of the Jordan River when the Israelites came to possess the land of promise. And so now it is referred to by Isaiah the prophet, the Galilee of the Gentiles. They settled in the land of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. The people sat in darkness. What does it mean to sit in darkness? Well, in the spiritual sense, to sit means to abide, means to settle down. When you sit down, you settle down. They sat. They settled down. They abided. They remained in darkness. They remained in sin. Darkness here being symbolic of sin. And we see it used that way several times in the Scriptures. John 1 and in verse 4. In him was life, speaking of Jesus Christ, and life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines in darkness. Jesus came as the light of this world. And he shines in darkness. He shines in a world that is filled with darkness, that is filled with sin. But darkness did not comprehend it, overcome it, some versions say, was victorious over it. No, light became victorious over darkness. But nonetheless, Jesus shines in the darkness. He illuminates the sin in people's lives. John 8 and in verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He'll not walk in darkness. He'll not walk in sin. Again, darkness is emblematic of sin. It's emblematic of the state or condition that man is in. And that's why Paul could say the Ephesians were once darkness. They were once darkness. Because they were filled with darkness. They were filled with sin at one time. But now, of course, they're children of light. Again, Ephesians 5 and in verse 8. And they're to walk as children of light. But at one time, before their conversion, they were once darkness. In Acts 26 and in verse 16, "But arise," the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus, "and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Note this. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. To open their eyes physically? Did they not have their eyes already open? He wants them to be able to see spiritually, to perceive and understand, because they're in spiritual ignorance. They can't comprehend and understand. They're in darkness. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness, to turn them from sin to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus says. In Colossians 1 and in verse 13, Paul said that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, from the rule of darkness in our life, from the rule of sin in our life. Sin rules in our life. It has power over us, causes us to be dark. But God has delivered us from the power or control of darkness and translated, conveyed, moved us from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, Peter said to the saints to whom he was writing, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that, in order that, so that you may proclaim the praises of Him who did what? Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He called them out of darkness, out of physical darkness? No. Out of secrecy, out of privacy? No. He called them out of sin. That's why they were once darkness. So when Paul said to the Ephesians, "You were once darkness," is that not what he has in mind? Absolutely it is. Because note the contrast, "but now you are light in the Lord." Not that you're in the light, but you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Why are there so many people in darkness? Why are there so many people in sin? Why are there so many people that could be said to be dark? To be darkness itself. Well, some people just like it that way. That's what the Scriptures teach. John 3 and in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They loved darkness. They loved sin. They hated the light. Why? Because light exposes them as sinners. Light illuminates their behavior. That's why there's so many people in darkness. They love it that way. They like it that way. People in darkness simply cannot see the spiritual things and spiritual values that exist in following the will of God in their life. 1 John 2 and in verse 11, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness." Note that. He who hates his brother is in darkness. He's in sin. And he walks, lives, behaves, conducts himself in darkness. He lives in sin. And does not know where he is going, because the darkness, the sin, has actually blinded his eyes. They simply cannot see their spiritual condition. They're spiritually ignorant and in sin, in darkness. People in spiritual darkness simply cannot see. They cannot perceive and comprehend the day of judgment coming. Why? Because they have no spiritual conception. No spiritual perception at all that it's coming. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 4, Paul said, But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness, you're not in spiritual ignorance that the day of judgment's going to overtake you like a thief in the night. Are you in spiritual darkness in regard to that? Are you spiritually ignorant in regard to the day of judgment coming? Think about it. People in darkness simply cannot see where they're going. John 12 and verse 35, Jesus said to them again, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light." He is the light of the world. Read a few moments ago. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you, lest darkness become victorious over you, lest darkness overpower you, lest darkness rule over you, lest sin rule in your life." He who walks in darkness, the one who walks in sin, does not know where he is going. Why? Because he has no spiritual perception. He's spiritually ignorant. Can't see where he's going. Just as one can't see where he's going in physical darkness, when one is in spiritual darkness, he cannot see where the steps of his life, the behavior and the conduct of his life is leading him. He can't see that he's walking off the edge of the cliff. He can't see that he's walking into a pit. He can't see that he is stepping into hell. Amen. Spiritually ignorant, spiritually blind, because he is in darkness. People in spiritual darkness are simply in the shadow of death. Luke 1 and verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Shadow is simply deep darkness of death. If you ever notice your shadow doesn't get away from you? Your shadow is never very far from you, is it? You ever try to get away from your shadow? To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Those who sit in darkness, those who sit in sin, those who remain in sin, those who abide in sin. They're right there by spiritual death, just as the shadow is right there with them, spiritually dead in the sight of God. Well, if one is spiritual in spiritual darkness, what should he do? And there are so many in spiritual darkness today. First of all, he should come out of darkness, if he's not already done so. Colossians 1 and verse 13 again, "God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." When one comes out of sin, through his faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of his sin, God moves him, translates him, conveys him out of that rule or power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When does that take place? At the same time, one is added to the Lord's church. On the day of Pentecost, they were told in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Repent and be baptized for, in order to have the remission of sins. That day, about 3,000 souls were added. Acts 2:47 says they were added to the Lord's church. That's when they were conveyed, transported, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The church and the kingdom, of course, are the same. So when they left the rule or reign or power of Satan in the realm or state of darkness, they left that and came into the realm of light in the kingdom of Christ Jesus. It all took place when they were baptized for the remission of their sins. They came out of their sins. They removed their sins from them simply by following the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 3, Paul said, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The light of the gospel. When you obey the gospel, you're coming to the light. When you obey the gospel, you're coming to the light, and the light does what? It reveals you as being in darkness, in sin. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 4. For we do not preach ourselves, Paul said, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, come out of darkness. It's to be done by following the light. The light that one finds in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when one comes to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in obedience to it for the remission of his sins in baptism, he puts off darkness. But we're to continue to put off darkness in our life by remaining in the light. Remember Ephesians 5 and verse 8? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, in your association and fellowship and relationship with the Lord. Walk then as children of light. Walk, behave, conduct yourself as children of light. Continue to put off darkness in your life. Romans 13 and verse 12, Paul said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Had they not done that in baptism? They had. But as Christians, we have to continually do that. You were once darkness. Why go back into that state and condition? Continually put off darkness in your life. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Don't associate. Don't have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. What's unfruitful? Well, doesn't produce any fruit to everlasting life. Unfruitful works. Works, deeds, and actions that produce no benefit to spiritual life. Unfruitful works of darkness. Sin. Won't you do all of these things if you've not already done so? Then be true to that commitment that you make. If one claims to follow the light but still walk in darkness, he's a liar and does not practice the truth. John says in 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is with God, verse 5, might I remind you, 1 John 1 and verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If then we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say we're in fellowship with God, and we walk in darkness, we walk or live in sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. Amen. The lesson is yours. Beware lest you say you have fellowship with God but walk in darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, come out of darkness. Come out of that state and condition which you are in because of your sin. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sin. If you've done that in times past, but you've gone back into that state or that condition, put that state off. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.